with Kaminko at Ambler, held March 10, 1982. It's painting from Kaminko is Jerry Booth, George Tecannon, Nana, John Schaefer, Don Argetzing, Robert Newland.
George Tecannon, Kapunani, Vice President, I think Operation Kopium, Sulipinya, Jerry Booth, Anchorage Millie, coming 15 Missouri, Sabakta, Exploration Millie, Sabakta, last time, Kopium, Nati, Don Margaret Singerly, Anchorage Millie, Nana Apitsami, Numnakunlu, Sabakunlu Matumani, Vice President, and Tamil. Tamil, and Tamil, Sabak Manna, Invited Ali, Sabor of Latin and Ubadu, 2 years ago, at the Kutora, Sabak Umina Patago, Sabak, and Sabak Ali and Lady Nakara, Sabak Amang Kumi, Atla Kumi, Sabakarok in Matigaduwa, Emma, Kumi, Atna, Pakaya setia tu ko sebab kita anak lu tadinya nak tangan tu nak beda area ini ini benar ini sini shareholder nak tangan tu tapi yang itu kan anak lu tu mau punya peran ini bagi kalau mana semua tu nak lain isunik kampanye ni sama ketika kami ini kita pakai itu adalah tiun lo kata kata mana orang itu itu mana kata kata ini ini kan pun ini lo ini kan dah pun ini lo GMC or pun ini lo sulle apa ni chairman kampanye ini mungkin panjang panjang cukup itu tujuh tahun sulle ini kami kami ini pertama tu kata mati nuwek matingin kako kendi kartun ni inyong magalak to ni agilan so man na inyong bed anok inyong bed muktokotin kami nalang digit nyura kasi nyikin inyong bed ni pipit mati tartun ni nobe tabun ni makulu at ma tartun ni na tekakul sama tabun ni na red dog anok iyong matilangan ni slide sa tingin sa mga kanyang tao sa exit atin penig pa ta saan mo explain o ran laki sa ano ibig na nga kung mahumin ako na ngunin ibig pa kami na ano inyong pelo sa bat na natin tao mo para sa penig pa sumit apat po tao apat po tao sa ulit ano kupan mo na siya tanong Kuningan untuk menani Allah ingin Allah kuironi kuningalah ayah pahaw ini Allah kuyara jamanda itu namanya tiga lawan itu di kerusi dan kota itu tiba tiba mola ini dulu satu tiga dua karena itu tiga lawan itu 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 maklah ini nak kuwana ini dalam itu karena ini kalau nak kuwana ini itu menani itu school district, Manilam, and the Orchard Dampi, but it is one of the Nakul Dunan Kanan, and after the Nala October, to Kanan Tamana, and you, and the Kapuva, and the Nasun, and the Nama, after the Pakomini, and the Kamna, to Kanata, and the Kuta, and the Maxi, to Kisir, and the Kuks, and the Nakul, and the Nakul,
what I'm going to do is tell you a little bit about Minko, and then something about the deposit, about the sort of metals that are in it, and then we'll go on and talk about what has to be done in order to make a mine there, and we'll be talking a little bit about jobs and training and about the benefits that will come to Nana's payments and so on. And then when we're all finished, Robert and John will also have some things to say to you. Well, after it's over, we can have a look at some things that we have here. We have a model of the Red Dog area, the land forms around there. You can see what it looks like. We also have some samples of the ore from Red Dog, lead and zinc, silver ore, samples of the concentrate. This is the material that would be shipped from the mine. You have to grind up the ore and take out the lead and zinc sulfide and then ship this out, and then it is treated in a smelter, and eventually it comes out as zinc and lead, things like this. We can go through some of these slides. I want to make a few points. The first one being that we're into this mining venture because you asked us to get you jobs. That's still the most important thing. We're going to do our best to get jobs. That's the most important thing, I think, this, at least to get into it. And once we start doing it, then there are other things that are important. Subsistence becomes the most important thing after we start into it. Those areas, the number of jobs, the size of the mine, which also tells how many jobs there are, the subsistence, how that's affected, the environment, the water, the air, the land, how that's affected, those kinds of things. In our agreement, Nana has as much say as Kaminko. And what that means is that we have to agree before they can go ahead, before it started. After it started, in those areas, if we don't like what they're doing, they have to correct it or we shut down the mine. We'll have that kind of control in the agreement. The other things, how much it's going to cost, how much money they want to spend on things, how they're going to operate the mine, that's their business. They got the say in that. We have no say in it. Those things that we think that are important to our people long term, we have just as much say as them. We have to agree or hold up. In the area of subsistence, we will have a committee made up of the Elders Council from Kitalina and NOTAC that will be the committee to both Kaminko and Nana. That's their land, that's where they hunt and fish, and they know it better, and they're more concerned with it. They're the ones that will look after that. We'll listen to that. As far as the money we're making, there's two ways of looking at this. I'll talk about the profits to man. Your business, so we've got to make profits on it too. It's your land, your minerals. We're putting that up. Kaminko's putting up the money, and hopefully, if we get it going, both of us will make money. The money money they talked about, the $1.5 million that we'll get shortly, and $1 million a year till they go into production. And the money after that, that seems like a lot of money, and it is, but we don't get it all. Under the Settlement Act, we have to share some of that with the other regions. The way it goes is we keep 34% of that banana. The rest of it we share with the other regions. So we wouldn't get it all. But if the mine goes, it'll be a good deal for us, for Nana. But the benefits we went after were the jobs, and that's where we can get the most out of it. Because people can work in good wages. And it won't be, we're trying not to do it like they do in other mines where they bring people in and they stay there for a month or two at a time before they get a break. They don't care, all they want to do is work and go home and put their money in the bank or something and go work again. We don't operate that way. We don't want to operate that way. What we want to do is to get the benefit of the mine and the job so we get some money. We want to keep the villages pretty much the way they are and people living the way they are. So that's why we're looking at a 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off shift, which means that really you'll only be working half a year, the people that work there, in most cases. And that also means that twice as many people can work there too. So we're looking at that. The problem we have is, and Robert mentioned earlier, is that right now we can't handle money. Not individually, but when we look at everybody in the village, we don't know how to handle money. And this mine's payroll is going to run close to $10 million a year. And even if we get only half the jobs at the startup, that's still $5 million worth of money coming into the villages that are not coming in now. Can't handle what little we got. How are we going to handle that? The way we do that is through our spirit program. We learn how to handle ourselves. Then the money is a problem. So it's very important that we get that program going and you support it and you be a part of it. Otherwise, we're going to hurt ourselves by opening this mine. So that's the one thing that's really important. The last thing I want to, next to the last thing, last thing on this is that this is not Cominco's operation. It's ours. We're in it with Cominco. The reason we got it going is for jobs for our people, for you. And so in order to make it work, we got to look at it like it's our operation, our mine, just as well as it's Cominco's. They're our partners in this. So we're going to have to look at it that way. So we're trying to represent what we think is your best interests. And we're going to be coming around asking you, maybe you guys will get tired of us asking you about things that affect that mine. But we're going to come around anyway, because it's yours. So you'll have a lot of say in it. In our agreement, Cominco has to come around at least once a year to all of our villages, and at least twice a year to Kibalina and Notak, because they're so close. Got to do that at least that often. We'll be back to talk to you about this lots of times. After I get done here, Robert and I will answer any questions you might have about any of this. One point I want to make, one of you guys had a meeting last week, Don was up here on a road. Know that Banana's position, if it wasn't straight there, you get some of the wild influence over Fairbanks that talk like everybody's against us, including Nana. Well, we're not. Years ago, you people said 10 years ago or something that you didn't want to go when they were trying to build it the first time. And Banana's position has been the same. Wherever you guys want or don't want, that's the position we're going to take. That time 10 years ago, I told the state and everybody else that if they went ahead and tried to build it anyway, I'd personally go out with some of our boys and go blow up their equipment. And I'd change your mind, then we'll change our mind. Get that clear, sure away, so there will be no question about it. I haven't talked to Frank Ferguson to see what he's doing, because a lot of times he'll do things that on the surface look one way, but that he's really doing something else. But I never worry about it, because almost always he's doing the right thing. I think in this case, what he's trying to do is, when somebody's trying to do something, instead of just going out and fighting it, he's changing it around a little bit, so that pretty soon that they'll end up not doing it anyway, without them getting mad at it. You know how it is for some people, when you tell them no, you're going to do just exactly the opposite, or they'll fight you if you tell them no. But if you tell them something else and you work your way around, you can get them to do what you want them to do. And that's the way politicians work. That's a good question. Maybe we're going to have single people go to training. That's something, up to now, we haven't even got serious about it. We talked around it a little bit, talked about different things, but never really got down to it. Because we didn't know where we were going to get with this. It was just a couple days ago that they signed the initial agreement to do this. So now we've got to talk about it. Maybe if you give us a couple more days, we'll figure it out. We've got people looking at it now. I met yesterday with the Manpower Division, the Kotzebue Technical Center. And we started to work on it. We put one of our staff people on it, work on this, determine training where we can get it, what we can do. Some of the training, we probably will want to wait until after they finish the feasibility study, because we'll be training for nothing if we don't open the mine. But one thing I told them at that meeting to do was to, one area that I think we should train anyhow, this is heavy equipment operators, drivers, and mechanics. Those two areas we should start training, and find out where we can get them. If the mine doesn't go, we'll just have more airport buildings. But the reason I did that was because I have some idea of how long the training is for those kinds of training. It's a long time. The rest of them, once we get a better idea of what we're doing, some of the, we'll start sending people to the other mines that Minko has. The Kotzebue Technical Center will start running some courses on some things. There are things like just maintenance work, for instance, electrical maintenance, plumbing maintenance, that kind of thing. It can be taught right in Kotzebue. And they'll start running courses to do that at some point. And then, if that's not enough, then they'll be on the job training programs at the mine once it gets run. And hopefully we can get enough people so that they're involved in the construction of the mine. So there's a lot of things. I really can't give you anything definite. Just we're trying to do that. Long term, for some of our people, especially the young people who are still in high school, we'd like them to start thinking about college, getting training in college that are needed up here in the Bill died before the miners finished the high school.
I agree with John. No reason why your young people should, they should be running that mine some number of years down the road. That's the best way to have it.
We've got operators now that are qualified for a lot of those jobs. We've got quite a few of those. We got carpenters that are qualified for the construction phase, and a few of them will be needed. Got a few of those. Some of the things like people working with surveyors, that's got to be on the job. It's difficult to get training for that. There's some training. It's not much. It's mostly getting out there and working for years and years before you get qualified. So those kind of things. We're now that we started this far, we'll try to figure them out a lot closer and get more information. We'll work through Manila's manpower division. On that. And that'll go for hiring too. A year or two ago, Manila went ahead and got some information from most of our shareholders, I think, on what your job skills are and whether you want to work and that kind of thing. We're putting it on our Manus computer. That will allow us to respond quicker when Kamiko needs people. They'll tell us we need 6 CAT scanners, this kind of thing, and we punch it out on the computer and we get a list of names. Who's who has the skills, who's available. We'll turn that over to the manpower and they'll contact the people to get a job. We just had an agreement for Kamiko do the work and drill the holes, and we would share the information. We didn't make a deal with them, and they would have to sell that information to them, whichever company we made a deal with. Essentially, we would end up at a certain point. We saw that one chart where we would end up with 50%. Until they finish construction and they start up the mine, we would get $1 million a year. They wouldn't be making any money. We would just get $1 million. Okay, the startup production. Until they get their money back, whatever that is, $300,000 or $300 million, $400 million, $500 million, whatever it costs them to get that going, plus the operating expenses. When they get that back, and our guess is we're 15, maybe 20 years. Until they get that back, we would get 4.5% of the net sum of the return. After that, when they get that back, then we jump to 25% of whatever they make. And that would be about $60 million a year. If that five years later, it jumps up until it finally jumps up to 50%. And at that point, it's going to be something over $100 million a year, close to $200 million a year, until the mine runs out. So without putting up any money ourselves, they put up all the money.
far as we're concerned, the way we look at it, you know, we're basically partners in it together. Nana is getting more in the beginning. We have to put up the money and take the risk, and then in the middle we get a bigger share, and then towards the end we share it together. Sort of a split.
How about the when a man finally said the Nana
Nana's land. Set up a policy for that. Yet, you know, we would do. I mean, we have no prospecting or any kind of policy. That's something that we have to develop. I mean, right now, you can't. Hard to think there is. They're going to look at a road or a railroad. They're not sure. Right, if things are not too good, you know, they've got to look at a shorter period of time. It's going to cost, they're not, the profit margin over the life of the mine is going to be that good. The road makes more sense because it's cheaper. And they're looking at somewhere this way, this way. Before we started on this, we got their permission to even start. So they already been in on it. Now the decision hasn't been made. They're going to be, especially Kibalina, going to be involved in the whole study process and evaluating different alternatives. So they'll have a say in what's going on, and then they'll, after they figure out what might be the best way to do it, whether it's a road or a railroad, then the Kibalina and OTAC people have to agree.
Up their rights
to give you an example of what can happen. Let's say there was a road running from here to here. The caribou were coming this way. They can stop using it while the caribou are crossing. They just quit hauling. They're all passed, and then they start again. Just like if they could get in there with a ship during whaling season, we wouldn't let them operate. Kibalina wouldn't let them operate. They would have to let their ship sit there until after the whales all went by before they could start hauling again. They've done that before. They did that in Greenland. People were, the ship, they said, were coming at the wrong time. It was interfering with their subsistence hunting. They changed their shipping schedule.
They used to ship through December. The ships could get in. There was ice forming, but the people wanted to travel on the ice and go hunting. And when the ship came through, it broke up all the ice, so they asked us to stop shipping.
Instead of saying, oh, it's going to stop the caribou without knowing about it or thinking about it, take a look at it, listen to the people there, and we decide how we're going to handle it. And if it's wrong, we can still change it. If it's 2 weeks in 1 month, 1 year, and 2 weeks in another month, who cares? But as long as we're the whole idea is to not disrupt the caribou coming through. We can stop time. We'll take a look at it. That committee of the Kivalina Notak elders, they don't stop at the end of the feasibility. If the mine gets going, they still stay there. Their elders council will be the committee that looks at this all for the length of the mine for 50 years or more. So they'll still be working. We have, I don't think they're going to fool with that, but you know, in the agreement we have an area around the mine, about 70,000 part of the agreement. So anything inside of that area is subject to the agreement. Same terms. That way, if they find something else, we still have the same.
Well, the what would be shipped to smelter would be the concentrate, and it would go to the zinc concentrate would have to go to a zinc smelter, and there are not very many zinc smelters in the world. I guess it might be a couple of dozen, but there are some in Japan, there are some in the lower 48, three or four in Canada, some in Western Europe. So it would have to go to one of those places. Lead, really about the same kinds of places.
The chances are that it'll go someplace on the west coast of the United States or Japan or someplace in Asia because of the shipping distances and the location.
I think it may even be possible to send it to Europe too, but it's hard to say. We're around to the eastern side of the U.S. You have to. That's one of the things we have to look at and see what smelters. Good question. I think so. I think that we know about the studies for using 747s around here. We've done some of them ourselves. And that looked like an idea that at least had to be considered before the price of oil went up in 1973-74. Since that's happened, that doesn't look quite as attractive as it did before. And another thing, the copper concentrates that come out of here would be worth more than the zinc and lead concentrates, so you would have a better chance of flying them. These concentrates aren't worth quite as much. There's more of them, and they're not worth as much per ton, so you would have a tougher time flying.
We were just negotiating with the Canacons over up on this. They say that it's at the time that they were looking at it, it was very marginal. Reason that it was they could look at it was because the price of gasoline was low and jet fuel. And Boeing was having a hard time selling their aircraft. They had a whole bunch of they were giving away cheap for their aircraft. Since then, there's no they've got a series of deposits other people have.
There's another one called the Sioux Lick Deposit.
Over here, we own part of it. No, we own part of it. It's not on the state.
And there are a bunch of other mining claims. There are showings of zinc and lead, but this Sioux Lick Deposit grid are the only two actual known deposits. But the other one is not as high grade as this one. We don't think at this time that it's, it has as good a chance of going to production. But there's a good chance, quite possible, that there are other deposits in the area still to be found.
This story that you're talking about, Red Dog, what is the most knowledge of ore that you'll get out of it?
It's zinc. It's primarily a zinc mine. If it wasn't for they wouldn't make it on the lead and the silver and the barium. The zinc would carry it through the zinc mine.
You gotta get to that.
And we sell that.
As long as you're getting back to the barium silver, since you can't get it out of the
right.
Some of the jobs you have to have, there'll be others you won't have to have.
There would be quite a few jobs that wouldn't require training beforehand. You'd be training on the job. There's lots of jobs that wouldn't require training beforehand.
You'll be coming up with a lot of information from that. If you have training in an area, though, you're going to get first crack at it. Job first before you can have on the job training. None yet. Jobs show up, then we'll have programs. Any other questions? We'll think of some more, and we'll be back over and over again to talk about it. This is the biggest deal we've worked on so far. If it works, remember, a year and a half, a few years from now, we might just say, "Well, it's not going to work. No more mining jobs, and we'll have to go look for something else." Keep that in mind. Look at it 50 years down the road. We've got all these jobs. 2 years from now, they might disappear. We'll have to look at that. It may be our fault too. If we got problems with subsistence, how the land will be treated after they start studying it. And even though they want to go ahead, man, it might say, it might not be their fault because they can't sell it or we can't mine it. It might be our fault. Our reasons that stop. We've got these displays up here, apps, so you can take a look at it, and you can ask these guys questions while they can explain them to you about it. And then when you're done with that, go home. Thank you.
Thank you for coming out.
That's the end of the Ambler meeting.